Morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we would love to meet you, to shake your hand and make you feel welcome. And if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find somebody you don't know and you introduce yourself to them. If it's a new member, find somebody, keep going till you find somebody who's a longtime member, because we want to meet you and we would love it if you would make a home here with us. One way to do that is by becoming involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find a lot of those opportunities listed in the bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few. Our today service is at 5 p.m. this afternoon in the gym. If you have never attended today, it is a time of contemplative prayer. It is a time of healing. It's a time of music. And is a moment of respite in what is a very noisy and busy life for most of us. That's 5 p.m. this afternoon in the gym. The first week of January, a team will be traveling to Haiti to learn the story of a group called Promise for Haiti. We are also exploring the possibility of partnering with this particular group and taking mission teams to Haiti in the future. If you would like to learn more about that trip or Promise for Haiti, there's a table in Reed Hall after the service. You can check out there and learn more. Also, next week, on our first floor lobby in McWhorter Hall, you will find the artistic renderings of the children of the church based on the question, what do they love about West End? And I know you will enjoy not only their renderings, but also it may remind you of something that you love about West End as well. So next Sunday, in the entryway, downstairs from the parking lot, and in McWhorter Hall. Look forward to seeing those. As you know, as a part of our legacy campaign, we have a stained glass project. Each of you can pick up out a piece of stained glass, and it will go into an artistic work that will commemorate this time together. If you've not done that, let me just be clear. You don't have to make a pledge to the Legacy Campaign to pick out a piece of glass. You don't have to pay for the piece of glass. You simply go in to Bishop's Parlor, down the hall and around the corner, pick out the piece that you would like. It is tagged. Your name is connected to it. And if there's someone you would like to honor or remember with that piece of glass, you can add that as well. So we would hope that everyone could take part in that. As you know, we have two campaigns going now. The Legacy Campaign, which is to help take care of the building, something we've not been able to do for a while, and our regular annual giving campaign, which assures that we'll be able to continue the ministries of this church. If you can only give to one, please give to the annual campaign, because that allows us to continue to do what God is calling us to do day in and day out, week in and week out. But we're hoping that you will also have an opportunity to give to the Legacy Campaign. You can read more about it in your bulletin inserts. You can read more about both of these campaigns. For Legacy, it's a 3-year gift or pledge, and we would hope that even if you could give a very small gift, that as many people as possible would be able to participate in this. And that's it for announcements. Have you ever been scared? Have you ever been afraid of something? You ever afraid for your health? Afraid for your job? Afraid for your children or your grandchildren? Jesus said over and over and over again, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And the same one who told us not to be afraid is the one who said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Guess what? He's here with us today.
Oh, us worship, for a voice upon the water whispers, "Be still and know that I am God."
God's Spirit leads us from chaos to calm, that we fear the wind and dread the sea.
Let us worship God's Spirit in strength, for a voice upon the water speaks, "Be not afraid, it is I." Let us confess our lack of faith, even as we trust the one who has promised to listen to our words as well as our hearts. Please join me as we confess together, saying, "Each day, our fears, our doubts, our worries wash over us until we come to believe that you do not care for us. There seems to be so much wrong in the world. We are convinced that there is nothing good we can do. The storms of sin and temptation batter at us, and we cower, unable to find the faith to withstand them. Forgive us, God of hope. Remind us that if we but put our hearts, we will heal us. If we but listen to your words, we will hear peace and joy. If we but open our lives to you, we can go forth to serve our sisters and brothers, even as we have been served by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." With calming words, with a peaceful spirit, with overflowing love and hope, our God forgives us and fills us with faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and sit up front with us, you're welcome to do so. The story that you just heard read is a story about a storm. Now, I'm not usually afraid of storms that much. In fact, I kind of like to stand out on the porch and watch the clouds roll in and watch the rain, as long as the storm doesn't get too bad. But a number of years ago, we had a really bad storm here in Nashville. It's called a tornado, actually. And at that time, I was serving another church. When I heard it was going to be a bad storm, I headed for home. And it was pretty scary, I have to say. That storm was scary. I got home, and a limb had broken off of a tree in our front yard and fallen off across the driveway. Well, I went inside, and my wife Margaret and our daughter Elizabeth, who was just a little bitty girl at the time, not in school yet, were down in the basement, and they were fine. They were safe, so I went to be down in the basement with them. Then when the storm was over, I walked to our older daughter, Sarah's school. And there were big trees down at each end of the street in front of Sarah's school. There was no electricity, and so everything was kind of dark in the hallways. Well, I went in, and sure enough, there were the teachers and all the children, and they were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing to keep safe. So I went through the dark, and I kept calling Sarah's name, and I found her teacher, and I found her, and I was able to take her home. And I thought, you know, I really didn't have to worry about them so much because, of course, Elizabeth had her mom there to take care of her, and Sarah had her teachers there to take care of her. In the story you heard, the followers of Jesus, the friends of Jesus, were in a big storm out on the sea, and they were scared, but they didn't have to be because they had someone there to take care of them, too. They had Jesus there to take care of them. Thank goodness that when we get scared, there are people around who can take care of us, who love us. Now, I'm going to talk some more about this story, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about storms, but mostly I'm going to talk about being afraid, which is something we've probably all experienced at one time or another. So, as I talk about that, you'll understand what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us people who love us to be with us when we're afraid, for parents and teachers and grandparents and friends, but especially we thank you for Jesus, who wasn't just with his friends long ago, but is with us as well. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. You know, one of the nice things about having the opportunity to preach on these stories that I have literally heard all my life is that as I hear them and read them and prepare again and again and again and again, I will frequently hear things that I didn't hear before. I have known this story all of my life. And as I was preparing for this particular sermon, I recognized something that I'd never seen before. Maybe you had seen it. In the boat with Jesus are his closest disciples. Now, they're on the sea. They are in a storm. Four of these people, at least, made their living fishing before they started following Jesus. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know, were fishermen who are supposed to know about boats and the sea and the storm. And when a storm comes up, what do? They wake up a builder turned rabbi to help them deal with a storm on the sea. Isn't that funny? But you see, while they knew about the sea and they knew about storms, Jesus knew about God. So they made the right choice. Jesus asked them the question, "Why were you afraid?" It seems like a nonsensical question. In a storm like that, on a sea and a boat, who wouldn't be afraid? But Jesus constantly does that. He constantly either asks, "Why are you afraid?" or keeps saying, "Don't be afraid," when everybody knows there's plenty to be afraid of. Storms are nothing to fool with. When you look at what happened to Jesus, you know that the power of the Roman Empire is nothing to fool with. It may be, however, that the reason Jesus focuses on trying to get rid of our fear is that fear can work on us in some very unhelpful ways. First of all, fear can paralyze us. Have you ever felt paralyzed with fear? Occasionally, I'll have a bad dream, and in the dream, I'm so afraid I can't move and I can't speak. Now, there are those in my family who think that that can't speak thing is probably a good thing. But it is so frightening, I am literally paralyzed with fear. On the other hand, fear can also create irrational hostilities toward the people that we fear, or whatever we fear. Look at how we respond to the Ebola virus. We've had, I think, three persons in North America who have contracted that. I wonder how many people have died just this week from obesity, addictions to alcohol and drugs, tobacco. And yet we're not afraid of those. Isn't it interesting the way we are sometimes made to be afraid of certain things and certain people? One of the most likely crowds to be afraid of in this day and time, in this culture, are those who practice the religion of Islam. While there are a few folks who are people you probably should be afraid of who practice Islam, there are also quite a number of folks in the Christian tradition are folks who you should be afraid of. I've met some of them. Isn't it interesting how that, however, can cultivate an irrational fear? I found a poem a while back, and it's written from the perspective of a teacher who in the classroom has a number of children from a variety of backgrounds, and they're talking about what they're afraid of. It begins like this. We are discussing the root of things, how phobia means fear of, and we make them up. Book-a-phobia, classroom-a-phobia, girl-a-phobia. I say there'll be a quiz. They laugh. It is evening in a small room in Queens where the desks are miniatures of the things they should be and the children sitting in them too close to me and my coffee so soon gone. And they start listing the things they're afraid of. And one young lady says, the people who hate me for my name. That's what she's afraid of. This is the same girl who taught her teacher how to count from 1 to 10 in Arabic. The poem ends this way. I do not know what to teach anymore. Graphophobia, philophobia, fear of writing, fear of love, all these children who do not have a name for their sorrow. At night in bed, I turn her name, the student's name, for the 100th time and find its beauty, the soft grace of wanting to be held. A child, scared, moving in dark from room to room to find the mother who named her, the father too, and their reasons why. Fear can be a great motivator. We all know that, don't we? I mean, just look at the campaigns that are going on now and the kind of literature I'm sure you all receive and the kinds of emails I'm sure some of you receive and maybe even phone calls that you receive specifically to cultivate fear to try to motivate you to do something. A friend of mine, a number of years ago, was serving in a church. He was pretty new to the church. It came time for the stewardship campaign this time of year. So he was looking for someone to help, and the person who was suggested to him was a very experienced person in raising money, but the money this person raised was primarily for political campaigns and political operatives. So they sat down to talk, and the individual said that he was willing to help. He said, but I need you to tell me something. He said, who do we hate? And my friend said, what? He said, who do we hate? Tell me who we hate. I can raise you all the money you need, more. He said, we don't hate anybody. We're Christians. Come on. He said, okay, tell me, who are you afraid of? I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, if you don't hate somebody, you're surely afraid of somebody. If you tell me who you're afraid of, I can still make you a lot of money. He said, Jesus tells us not to be afraid. And the person who was being interviewed said, well, you know, if there's nobody to hate and nobody to fear, I'm not sure how you raise money. And my friend said, I'm not sure that you're the right person to be doing it. Fortunately, we understand here that that is not the way you raise money. The question is not and cannot be, who do you fear or who do you hate? Not for us, not for this community. The question is, who do you love? Who do you trust? Or perhaps the prior question is, who loved you first? We know that, don't we? We know that already. You had parents or grandparents. You had some of you Sunday school teachers in this very congregation. Pastors in this very congregation who have loved you. But even before that, God loved each and every one of us. And that love is a perfect love. And as the first letter of John says, perfect love drives out fear. So as we approach our lives and all the gifts we've been given, one of those gifts is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and the ability to trust in the one who can still the storm, the one who can stand in the face of Pontius Pilate, the representative of the most powerful empire in the world, and quietly and calmly confront him, knowing that in doing so, he'll be condemning himself to death. Saying, you know, if I had a kingdom that was like your kingdom, I could call down armies. But the kingdom that I lead is not at all like the Roman Empire, or the American Empire, or any other empire. It's a kingdom of love and a kingdom of trust. We have inherited a place to be. It's one of the reasons we're trying to take care of it, right? We have inherited this place to be because the people here did not have a spirit of fear. Don't you know when that other end was built and finished, when the educational wing was completed, and they got into it on the Sunday just before the Tuesday the stock market fell in 1929, some folks were afraid that this would never be built, that we would not be sitting here today. Don't you know that was the fear? But our forebears did not have a spirit of fear. They had a spirit of trust. They had a spirit of love. And here we are. Oh, it took them 10 years or more to do it. It took some great sacrifices to do it. Wedding rings put in the collection plate to do it. But it gave us a place to be. But a place to be is not enough. We also inherited a way to serve. A way to take what we learn here, what we experience, the love that we have here from the presence of God and the presence of each other, and carry that out into the places where people feel unloved. Carry that into the halls of power where policies are made that shut people out and make them feel unloved. So we've received these two things. We've received a place to be, and we've received a way to serve. What we have not received is someone to hate or someone to fear. Instead, we have been given a spirit of trust, a spirit of love. We know who walks with us. And a perfect love that, believe me, can drive out all fear. Thanks be to God. One way we remind ourselves of that love and what it means to us as he trips down the stairs is through affirmations. And so I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 885 in your hymnal. There you'll find a modern affirmation. I invite you to join in following my invitation to you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Good morning. One of the joys of the community is celebrating all who have gathered for worship today. If you are a guest, please join us through the doors on your right in Reed Hall for a time of fellowship after the service. And if you're new to our community, please stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you'll find information about our ministries as well as a small gift. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. One side is for any questions or comments you have for staff or lay leadership. The other side is for any prayer requests you may have. This card can be placed in the offering plate in just a few moments. If your pew did not pass down the attendance pads at the beginning of worship, please do so now. Passing them back down the pew and noting with whom we are worshiping is an important part of building our community here at West End United Methodist Church. This morning, we rejoice with the Pettigrew family. Charles Durham Pettigrew Jr. was born on September 29th to Sarah and Durham Pettigrew. Let us now go to our holy God in prayer, lifting up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who is greater than the most powerful forces in the world, enable us to be still and know that you are God. O Lord, who answers out of the whirlwind of everyday life, breathe in us your Holy Spirit to strengthen, comfort, and guide us in the midst of the storms. O still small voice, speak to us this hour, that we might become makers of your peace in our homes, communities, and world. Help us, O God, to always keep your power and your authority and your love and your majesty in our minds, and to never neglect the doing of your will. Help us to be obedient to the word you place in our hearts and our minds. Help us make you supreme in all we do each and every day, in how we make decisions about how we spend our time and our money, in how we employ our hands and in how we direct our feet, in how we speak and in how we think, in how we rest and in how we work. Thank you, God most holy, for hearing our prayers. All these things we ask of you in the name of Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, both now and forevermore. Now let us pray together as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and offerings.
I do not send you out to face the world in fear, but go out in a spirit of love and trust in the one who is love walking among us. Go to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, whose name and nature is love, Jesus Christ, who is God's love among us and within us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us a way to serve, a way to follow Jesus, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.